What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today. What's up, everybody? It's your boy Doggy Diamonds. Another episode of Doggy Diamonds No Filter. This is a special one because Brooklyn is definitely in the building. Let them know who I got on the line today.
Yeah, what up, y'all? Bill Gans, world famous MOP, Brownsville, Brooklyn zone, man. I'm here. Diamonds, yeah. What's good?
What's going on, bro? So a lot going on with you right now. You about to venture out into this solo world. How does it feel?
Strange. Gotta be honest, bro. Strange because my whole life I've been connected to fame and connected to the MOP camp, and I'm still connected. Of course, because that's my heart and my soul. But to do this is a little different, especially after all of these years of being presented to the world as a group. You know what I mean? But I mean, I'm getting good feedback from everything, so I'm feeling good. And fame got my back 100%. So we're moving forward with this thing, brother.
Why now though? Why? Because you know you could have did it within the last 15 years. Why 2019? You like, you know what? I'm gonna go out there now.
Dude, you know what's crazy? I started getting active in doing solo records or pursuing a solo project about 15 years ago.
Mm.
And it just, I would make 5 or 6 records. I'd be like, okay, these hot. I'm gonna keep going. But then the MOP situation would always come right back into the fold. Like the public would demand a tour or a project or something like that, and I couldn't let them down. You know what I'm saying? So I kept going back and forth. So I've been fighting with this for a long time, bro.
What's the difference between, besides the obvious, what's the difference between recording as a soloist and recording as a group?
You know what? There's the good and the bad, right?
Because
like I get to go in there and kind of focus on what I want to do without any other, without anybody else jumping in or having any other opinions. But then it's times when, you need somebody there.
Okay.
Especially when you're used to having somebody there, it's times when you need that, when you're creating solo records. And when you turn around and nobody's there, it's like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
But I know within essence, I got fame 100%, so I can always get on the phone with him. But it's a little different when he's not in the studio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Production. Where do you go with the production? Do you keep it the traditional sound or do you get a chance to experiment a little bit?
Well, I do get a chance to experiment because I don't have to meet that MOP standard. You know what I'm saying? And then there's other things that I want to do as an artist, as an individual artist, that maybe is a little out of the box for MOP. But I still try to make sure I cover my core fan base with the way that I deliver the lyrics and sometimes the topics, you know what I mean? But on this whole Billy Dance project, not just the six pack, let me just be clear on the six pack. The six pack is actually my version of a single.
Mm.
So it's not an EP. It's just my version of a single, and it happened to be 6 songs. I wanted to make sure I covered enough ground. So when I'm doing this solo record, I got a chance to make records that MOP probably wouldn't make.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm always going to be Billy Dance, and the core fans, I know they're going to appreciate that. But there's other fans that I haven't touched yet that I may touch with the new material.
So as far as production, like where do you go with it? Like, do you hit the primos? Do you get new people? Because, you know, hearing you over certain beats might be weird to the fan base. So are you a little nervous about that? So where do you go with the production?
Now, you know what? Because I'm doing a solo thing, so I want to branch out.
Got
now,
you.
With this first six pack, there's really no known producers.
Okay.
On this, not well known.
Okay.
I got a dude named Quincy Tones from the UK who's actually worked with a lot of people, Jada, and a lot of other dudes too. I got a young boy who I happened to walk into the studio on his birthday. This kid, Joey Mafia.
Okay.
Young boy, he's like 21 years old. He did a joint called Make You Famous. That's on the six pack.
Got you.
He hasn't done any big production anywhere else, but he had a good, the beat was right. it was a good vibe in the studio. And to me, it really, I don't want to say it doesn't matter who produces it, but I'm more into, if it sounds good, if it's dope, I want to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, where do you go with this? Do you do this straight up independent, or do you try to put it through some type of machine?
Nah, you know what? I'm at this point, I'm doing it independently. Me and my team, Rise and Fire / We Build Hits. Really, like, VMOP Camp or myself, Billy Dance, kind of on autopilot.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've built my fan base over, you know, decades. I traveled the world 4 times. So I'm kind of, you know, in position. And then when you think about it, you know, when you dealing with a big machine, it's like, okay, I have to sell X amount of records to get this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I have to sell whatever I sell to get all of the money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's still kind of balanced out, and I'm already solidified around the world. So it's still going to work out in my favor.
Was there a point that you, I heard you was scared of flying at one point.
Oh, hell yeah. That shit ain't make no sense to me, dude.
How did you overcome that?
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. But really, the real answer is, I mean, I'm a human being. Just because I'm an artist don't mean everything comes easy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I had, you know, there's kids that need to be taken care of. There's bills that need to be paid. So it's either I hang out around America where at some point, you know, the money won't be enough for me, or I get on this plane and I go and get this money in Poland and get this money in Switzerland and Sweden and all these places. Dude, I literally used to take boats to Europe.
Oh, so Christopher Columbus shit?
Like, it'd take me like 6 days, but wow. I'd be drunk as hell the whole time,
partying the whole time.
You know what I'm saying? Same in the States. Like, I would take trains everywhere.
Wow.
I would drive everywhere. I wouldn't fly. Sort of like Fat Joe, KRS-One. I think KRS-One still doesn't fly.
I think he still doesn't fly. Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much money you think you missed initially?
You know what? That's fucked up that you go ask me that.
Because, you know, because the up-and-coming artist, you know, is like, yo, man, you going to miss some serious money if you don't go out there early.
Well, you know what? Shane said that before too. He's like, man, we probably missed some dumb money. I'm like, well, don't worry about it, nigga. We get to it.
Yeah, we get back to it.
Really, my thing was this. It was a real fear of flying. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I just didn't want to get on a plane just because, you know what I mean, to fuck up nobody else's money. It was a real fear of flying, so it was legitimate. But like I said, if I needed to be there on the 20th, I would be on the boat on the 13th.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? This is where I get there on the 20th, and moving around Europe is real easy. Europe is basically like New York and Canada.
Got you.
Right at the border. You could basically walk across the street and be right in another country.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? So I made it work, bro.
So you've been through the record labels. Select Records was first, right?
Yep, Select.
Select, then it was Relativity?
Relativity, yep.
Then it was...
Loud.
Then y'all went to G Unit after Loud, or was it something after Loud?
That was more like Sony.
Okay.
Then Rockefeller. Then
G Unit.
G Unit, yeah. Then G Unit, like the majors or the major indies or the indie majors or whatever you want to call it.
Why do you think none of those situations helped y'all flourish?
Well, you know what, really. Most of the record labels, with exception of the first one, Select, like, they gave us a shot because he believed in the music.
Mm-hmm.
Every other company did a deal with us or wanted to do a deal with us just because they were fans and just to be able to say, we got MOP as well.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, we still did well. Like I said, dude, like, I traveled the world 4 times. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? No matter what the record label situation was, we went out there, we did the work for ourselves and for our families. So we're solidified again, like, you know, we're basically on autopilot, bro.
Was when you recorded Four Alarm Blaze, did Jay-Z come to the studio?
Jay-Z, look, first of all, and I tell this story, people are so amazed at this. Jay-Z, the song was already done and out playing on the radio. Brooklyn was already in the uproar. The country was already in the uproar. And then Jay would come to the studio every day for like 2 weeks. Like, yo, I don't want to say begging, but asking to be on the record. Like, yo, come on, man, open a record up for me. Let me get on the record. Wow. Can I get on that record? Boom, boom, boom. And we decided to do it and let him get on the record. So that's how that kind of how that happened. So I don't remember if he was in the studio, and I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I was so drowned in the studio around that time in my career. It's a lot of things that I forgot, brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Your talking voice is kind of calm. You regular, but your rapping voice, you project it. When did you come up with that?
From the very beginning.
Okay.
The very first day I walked into a studio, I came up with that myself, but you know, Laze was in the room, Fame was in the room, DR Perry was in the room. And they're like, yo, a little more of this, maybe a little less that, you know, handle like this. And then over the years, I kind of perfected it and it fell into pocket. But it's entertainment, dog. So I want to make sure I get my point across when I'm in the booth. So I project. Some people go, he's yelling all the time. I'm not yelling. I'm just projecting. I want you to understand what I'm saying. I really represent that part of society that people try to forget about, and they don't have a voice. So I need my voice to be as loud as it can be for them or for us as one.
And being from Brooklyn, being from New York City, wasn't y'all banned in New York at one point?
Was banned in every major city in the country.
Why though? Tell the people why you was banned.
Well, they try to blame everything that happened on the music. You know what I'm saying? They try to blame it on Annie Up. Like, it was too wild in the clubs when the record came on, or right. The records that we had before that. I can remember actually performing one time in New Jersey, and it was about, by the time we got to the second verse, there had been 7 fights broke out.
Damn.
Now, I'm going to be honest, man. I don't think it was my fault. Man. I think these cats already had problems with each other before they, bumped into each other in the club. You know what I'm saying? Nevertheless, they banned us for, creating these riots when these records come on, which also helped too.
So in New York City, that means y'all didn't really get a chance to touch the tunnel in some of these places?
Yeah. We did the tunnel just a couple times.
Okay.
The tunnel was more like a spot that wasn't for me.
Okay.
I'm not really a big hangout dude.
I want to go
get my work done, come out of there. I might have been in the tunnel 4 times, 2 times to perform, and maybe twice just to kind of chill a little bit, but always on edge in the tunnel. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So
let me fall out of here before I end up in prison or something.
Something
bad happened.
Being from Brooklyn, it's always was big shoes to fill, to me, in my opinion, because the greatest come from Brooklyn. You know, I always say that. Mm-hmm. We got Kane, we got Jay, mm-hmm. we got Big, and y'all was always considered like one of the top groups in hip hop, period. Do you think the industry is kind of forgetting about y'all a little bit?
I don't really think so. I think there's just a new industry,
okay.
and new blood in the industry where they got to pay more attention to that. But as I said before, like, we are solidified.
Facts.
So I can go anywhere in Brooklyn and not have a problem. People always acknowledge me or Fame. And we get that love all the way around the world, not just in Brooklyn.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that the industry is forgetting about us. And even if they tried to, they couldn't, because we've done too much in this business. We worked with too many artists and too many execs. And we've always, in other people's opinion, like, we've always put out good music. You know what I mean? So, and we sticking to that.
Yeah.
We're still going.
When y'all created How About Some Hardcore, after the record was done, did you say, yo, I think we got something? Like, what did it feel like? Because that was like the first time I was like, who the fuck is this? You know what I'm saying? And like, what was that feeling after y'all did that record?
Well, I mean, you gotta remember too, like, that's literally right off the block.
Yes.
Like, we came right off the block to the and when I say right off the block, there was no plans or anything to go to the studio. Fame actually walked up on me and said, yo, remember I asked you to do a record with me.
Mm.
I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, no problem. I was like, just let me know. Let me know when. He said, now. I'm like, now? You mean now?
This minute? Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
out
yeah.
Doing
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, he's like, yeah. So we went to the studio and we recorded the first verse, my first verse, Fame's first verse, and half of my second verse, because I wasn't used to rapping, projecting so hard and so strongly on the mic. I had never been in a studio a day in my life. That was my very first day.
How about some hardcore? Was your first time in the studio?
Very first time.
Wow. Amazing.
Very first time. And what was really amazing about it is about maybe 2 weeks later, we had a deal on the table.
Wow.
It was an unfinished song. The song wasn't even finished.
Wow.
So, yeah, of course, I did think that we had something because it was something different from the normal for us. It's like, what is this? And I think I listened to the record probably 1,000 times, the unfinished record. Like, because I'm going, that's me coming out of this. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely thought we had something. Didn't know what we had, but I know we had something different. And it seems like it was a little light at the end of the tunnel for us at that point. We, you know, I mean, it's Brooklyn, dog. It's Brownsville. You know what I mean? Like, we really had it rough down there.
Facts.
So there was nothing else for us that was in our eyesight that we could see where we could come up and better our lives. So, yeah, I thought this was definitely something. We definitely had something with this one.
Going around the industry, did you have to reassure people, like, no, I'm not going to just punch you for nothing? Do you feel like people was just scared of you?
Yeah, which was bad.
Yeah.
Which was really bad, though, bro, because, I mean, we're human beings. Like, they always thought of us as animals. Like I said, you know, we were banned from every major city in the country. A lot of big executives would make sure we couldn't come in buildings and stuff like that.
Damn.
So over the recent years, maybe over the last 10 years, I've actually had been able to have conversations with people, and people, you know, people would stop me in the middle of conversations like, yo, dude, I really had no idea. You know, say that you were actually cool and wasn't on no bullshit. Sort of like, you know, you just said, like, you know, my speaking voice is calm. People don't know that about me.
Yeah, yeah, you think you're going to yell everything. Like, yo, what's up? Brownsville? Like, no matter what.
Placing your order with that crazy ad libs, right? So they always thought that. But, yeah, Over the recent years, I was able to talk to people, a lot of CEOs, a lot of execs, and not even trying to get them to understand that I was a cool dude, but just trying to get them to understand I'm just trying to do good, clean business. And they kind of felt it from there, like, dude is, you know, dude's human. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad I got past that point.
I've heard, though, that you have snuffed some people in your time, though. I've heard that Billy has snuffed some people. I heard that you...
Well, I hit a few niggas in the mouth if I have to.
A few industry people, too, but we ain't going to put that out there. You've snuffed some rappers before, too. I've heard that you've snuffed some rappers. You know, you ain't got to...
You know what, brother? Let me tell you this. If I ever get violent with somebody or do something to somebody, it's because the way they handled me. Mm-hmm. And it's really because... Like, I wouldn't let somebody do something to me that I wouldn't do to them.
Got you.
If I look at you as a friend or somebody that I'm dealing with in some kind of way, I know I wouldn't snake you or do no bullshit to you. So if you do it to me, I have to show you that I don't appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now,
go ahead.
If it's someone else that's not a friend, that's an enemy or an opposition, I expect that. So I'm not so upset about it. So me hitting somebody in the mouth in this industry was more about me being hurt over the way that they handled me because we were supposed to be friends.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What did you fear? I feel like DR Period initially gave y'all sound. Y'all wasn't working with DR Period anymore. What was the initial reaction? Was you fearful? Like, damn, where are we going to get our sound from? I mean, of course, Primo stepped in and did an incredible job, but... What was the initial reaction when y'all first wasn't dealing with DR anymore?
Well, it was crazy because it's like we family. You know, DR grew up right around the corner from us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're family, and then we came in this together. But as far as the sound of M.O.P., if you move all the beats, it still sounds like M.O.P.
Facts.
If it's a cappella, it still sounds like M.O.P. So whatever producer it is, we're still going to be M.O.P. But it was a little weird. Like I said, we started together. DR was a dude from the neighborhood, a good friend. So it was a little awkward at first. But really, when we hooked up with Premier, the first record was supposed to be a remix to How About Some Hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
I watched him starting to put this beat together. I got hungry, went downstairs, got something. He came back. He had a whole beat.
Mm.
And that was the start of the Downtown Swingers. So we forgot all about the whole, you know what I'm saying?
That shit was incredible, man.
Right to Downtown Swindle. Yeah, that first one was bomb. Yo. I loved it. And we got one that we never put out. We got two that we never put out.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Well,
crazy,
somebody told me y'all got a lot of unreleased music with some, I heard y'all got some Biggie unreleased shit. I don't want to get you in trouble and nobody beating on your door, but I heard you got some Biggie verses that nobody heard.
We got a couple of joints. Yeah. We got a couple of joints.
Yeah. So when y'all leave DR and then Smooth and Trigger come in, was it initial resentment or was y'all like, they dope? Like, what was the real feeling like?
No, it was no resentment at all because nobody can be MOP.
Got you.
So, but of course there was, even my mother said, that boy sounds like you, or that feels like y'all.
Facts,
But before the music, like, we were always cool with Smooth and Trigg and Clash and all those guys.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't even have to ask them. I would never even have to ask them because I feel this way 100% of my heart. There was no way that they would try to be disrespectful or do anything underhanded towards us because they knew we wouldn't do that to them.
Yeah.
A lot of people were saying, yo, they sound like this or whatever, whatever. And then a lot of people was trying to create a beef between us, which never happened and never will happen because, you know what I mean? Like, we from the same hood. And if there was anything about a beef or anything, it would be other than on records, which would never be good for either party.
Yeah, in the hood. The hood would be bad for the hood. I think the ultimate project one day, if we could find a budget or GoFundMe or something, is Smooth and Trigger, MOP, Christ, produced by DR Period and Primo. I think that would be the ultimate project one day. I think we need that.
That's good, bro. You know what? I talked to Smooth a few months ago about putting some stuff together. I mean, we never kind of got to the bottom or what it is that we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But that's something that we could definitely go back and revisit and pull together. And that makes sense. I didn't even think. I was really just thinking, me and Smooth were just thinking, MOP, Smooth, Trigg, Christ, Teflon, the rest of their crew.
How could I forget about Tef? Damn, my bad.
Right. But we weren't, in my head, it never dawned, because we were just focused on what we were talking about.
Yeah.
DR and Preem, which only makes sense, right?
Yep.
Only makes sense to have DR and Preem.
And let's throw Papoose in there for a few verses, too. He's original, you know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah! You put Pap in there for a couple of verses. That boy's a monster too, ain't he?
Yeah. When you first heard Papoose, what was your first initial reaction?
I always thought Pap was dope. Now this was before everyone else heard him.
Because
I was running to him just on the ads.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "Yo, big bro, yo, check this out." Boom, spit a couple of verses. As we walk in from store to store, or he'll hit me with a CD or something, and I'll play it. He's always been dope.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been dope, and it seems like he's getting better.
Yeah.
To be honest, seems like he's getting better. He's getting sharp. And hats off to Pap and Remy, and you know the family. God bless the family. They're doing their thing, man. I love to see it. I love it.
In this day and time, I know you wrote some of the most incredible shit because we've heard it. When you see people get away and sell millions of records they might not even have a rhyme that rhymes. It might just be a line and shit don't make no sense. Do you say, what the hell is going on? Like, how many times did you ever say, I can't fuck with this shit no more, I quit?
A few times, but it wasn't about the music.
Okay.
Or the artist, you know what I'm saying? It was just about me as a man, like, being like, you know what, I want to do something different. I'm tired of this, I want to move on. But as far as the cats today with the records that they make, most of it I can't get with it because it's something that I wouldn't do, but I do appreciate it because we can go all the way back to when hip hop started in the Bronx or wherever it's started at, right?
I think it started in Brooklyn, me personally, but that's...
Yeah, I know. That's why I said that.
Yeah.
But I'm just hearing that part of the start.
Gotcha.
Story. But when it started, if it would have stayed in that one spot,
yes,
we probably wouldn't, more than likely, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There would be no Roc Nation. There would be no deal for beats with Apple.
Yes.
There would be no Ice Cube making these movies. Mm-hmm. Will Smith would probably not exist. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
This thing did not move. So we needed it to move. Now, the sound of it, it's like, you know, when we first heard hip hop, we was just coming off the heels of listening to our parents play the OJs, the Temptations,
facts.
The,
mm-hmm.
you know, Commodores and all of that. And when we played that music, our parents would walk through and go, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like garbage. Same thing that we're doing now.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm
saying? Yeah, 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 yeah.
And the same thing that happened when we came out and the older artist was doing it.
Yeah.
So, but it's growing, bruh, and we need it to grow. You know what I'm saying? If it don't grow, then we all fucked up. We all back on the corner. You know what I mean? Back in the projects, trying to get money the best way we could.
Going to prison.
Now you got dudes from these corners, like where we come from, bro.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you got
yeah.
50 doing million-dollar deals. You got TV shows.
Yeah.
You got James handling LeBron James and, you know, liquor and doing big tours with his wife, who's a huge artist as well. Like, if this thing didn't grow, he would be in Marcy, 50 would be in fucking South Jamaica, Queens, and I would be on St. Mark's Avenue.
Yeah.
So we need all of this, dog.
Brownsville.
We need it all.
Brownsville. I try to explain to people that's not from Brooklyn how fucking crazy Brownsville is in East New York, that area. You know, it's like across the street, you in the east, you come over here, mm-hmm. then you in the 90s on the backside. You know what I'm saying? Like different shit. Like I've tried to explain to people, growing up there, what was a day in the life like for you? Let's say, let me give you a year, 1991.
Jesus Christ. That was, well, 91, I was actually in, and I got the quote fingers up, I was actually in college.
Oh, wow.
So,
dope.
Yeah, that, with the quote fingers, though, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's, anyway, it was bad, man. Like, it was the same as, here's a story that I hate to tell, but there was one day me and Fame, and this was in 91.
Mm.
No, 90, was it 91? Yeah, it was toward the end of 91. Me and Fame walking to the store. He got his dog with him. And his dog kept pulling away from him toward his bag. He pulls the dog away. We go up the block. We come back. This dog keeps running towards this bag. So he lets the dog get close to the bag. The dog shakes the bag. A whole torso falls out the bag.
Whoa.
Right? But this is regular for us. Because years before that, as I believe I was maybe 15, 16. Maybe 15, 16. And I used to walk down Howard Avenue to a spot that we was running a couple spots, a couple joints, whatever. So I'm walking down there, and every day I would walk down there for about 2 months, dude, there was a body just laying there.
Wow.
Like they never came and picked it up.
Yeah.
For 2 months, every day, and maybe it wasn't even 2 months, you know, back then, time was moving slow for us, right? Because we was kids. We thought we had all the time in the world. So maybe it's like maybe a couple weeks. But every time I walked past, this body was still laying there.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So it was bad, man. Like, it was bad. Like, shootouts every day and people getting hurt. And, you know, there was no snitching back then. So people weren't so hesitant to get busy. You know what I'm saying? There was no cameras back then. So people wasn't really hesitant to get busy. They're like, on a yellow line. At 12 o'clock in the afternoon, dancing.
Yeah, and I was trying to tell people that it's like four or five projects right across the street from each other in Brownsville. Like directly, you go to this side, it's a project, and then this project got beef with that. The back of the first of all, the projects got beef with the front and back. So if you on this side, and then the back side of the project got beef with the front side, but then they cool with the dudes in the project over there. It was really really
and
crazy, and it still is.
The nice people. And the nice people lived in the middle.
Yep.
And they couldn't move.
Yep.
They couldn't move. Like, you can't go to that store, you can't go to that store.
Yep.
Because you're walking to the middle of something.
So you've recorded with many top artists. What's your dream collaboration? I mean, you got Jay-Z under your belt. You got 50 Cent under your belt. You got, you know, big records. You know, it was a sleeper record, the joint with y'all and Product GMB. That's a sleeper joint right there. I love that joint.
That was a good record.
Yeah,
that was a
yeah.
good record.
What's your dream collaboration right now?
You know, I mean, out of all the artists, and maybe I shouldn't add my family in here, but really, because of the stage of my career right now, I want to make records with Fame and Tef.
Mm.
That's who I want to make records with. I want to make brand new records with Fame and Tef.
Gotcha.
Not that I don't love Rakim anymore, or Scarface is not in my top three, or, you know, Big Daddy Kane ain't somebody that I love on a personal level and think is amazing.
The
but
GOAT.
I want to make records with my fam.
Yeah, yeah.
No?
Okay. Shout out to Fox, too. Shout out to Fox.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, shout out to Fox.
Shout out to Fox.
Fox had me thinking, you know, I was scared. I was like, yo, Fox going to be out there, you know, whipping ass too, because y'all just had it. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all, I mean, not saying y'all don't anymore, but I just love the movement because I understood it being from the borough. I understood the aggression. I understood the music. It made sense to me because I knew, yo, this is where we from. This is all we see every day. What's your favorite, if you could remember, what's your favorite studio session?
There's so many, dude. Like, every day in D&D was awesome.
Wow.
Every day in D&D was like, it was like an adventure. And mm-hmm. you had to be thorough to come into D&D at one time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you couldn't just be, like, just no regular rapper. And you can't come in there front end. Like, you got to be tied to somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So, every session in D&D was amazing. Sessions with Busta Rhymes is always crazy, animated.
Yeah.
Dude is fun as hell. I think, now that I think about it, I think my most memorable session was outside of the first time I went in the studio and created that How About Some Hardcore, but I think was the session that I did with Big Pun in Sony Studio to do New York Giants. And 3 days later, you know, my brother passed away.
Mm.
But it was not just memorable just because he passed away, but just because of the vibe in that studio that day.
Yeah, yeah.
It felt like something extra special. Now, we didn't know the closeout to this was going to be getting a call and saying that Pun passed away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the whole vibe that day, he was there. You know, he had his wife there with him, and Joe was there. A few of the cats from the Terror Squad were there, which we've always got along. Those are like, you know, like my Puerto Rican cousins and
shit.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I think that session with Pun, that last session with Pun, was a great, great session. Had a good vibe.
So you got Jay-Z, 50 Cent, Pun, Busta Rhymes. Yo. Y'all list is crazy. Do you turn down features? Obviously you have, because you don't have that many. But do you turn down features?
Yeah, of course.
Go ahead.
And to get on MOP records, like, we never asked. There was one person that we asked, I believe, to get on. Yeah, one person we asked to get on MOP record, and that was G-Rap.
Mm.
We've never asked anyone else to get on an MOP record.
Stick to your guns.
right. That's it. That was the only one that we've ever asked. With Freddie Fox, doing a joint with Freddie Fox or Blue Root, God bless him. So that just kind of had to happen.
Yeah.
We're in the studio, we're vibing. Yo, you should get on this. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yo, I should get on this. Yo, this will be hot. Boom. It's never been like, okay, let's create this record and maybe let's see if we can send it to Jay-Z and maybe he'll get on it.
Well, you already told the story of Jay-Z coming to the studio every day trying to get on that record. With Jay-Z, did you, I think us in Brooklyn kind of knew he was going to be a big artist, but did you see this for him?
I don't know. What I did see was he was, even though he was hanging in there with everyone else as far as whatever style of music was going on,
mm-hmm.
he always did something a little bit different, a little more special, a little mm-hmm. more upscale, or a little more out of the box, which obviously pushed him to getting into this space that he's in. And the space that he's in now, he's not even a rapper. Rapper.
Yeah.
That's his side job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's just a rapper that happened to be dope as hell, but that's a side job. He's doing business. He's doing big shit, man.
And
I just saw that he helped the kid out, got the kid out of jail. That mm-hmm. was I got locked up for 7 CDs in school or in the mall or something like that. Hats off to that brother.
Yeah.
And there was another time where he was Dell and Father's out for Father's Day a couple of years ago, and I had to post that up. I was like, man, that is amazing.
Yeah. You don't,
that is amazing.
The song You Don't Know, do you, did you, when y'all recorded that, did you like, holy shit, I think we just got another anthem. Did you realize what you just did?
It had nothing to do with me when I thought about we have another anthem. It had nothing to do with Jay or Fame. It was just Blade.
Yeah, he smoked that. Yeah.
Dude, let me tell you something. Any beat you give me, if the horns are blaring properly in the right melody, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna work. I don't give a fuck.
Shut
them down with Pete Rock in the remix. It's gotta work. So shout out to Jess Blaze for that, man. He bodied that beat. Shout out to Jay for asking us to be on the song. It worked out pretty good.
When we
perform that song at shows now.
So I could imagine. Do you write your ad-libs down?
Sometimes, yeah.
Because your shit's y'all ad-libs is perfect. Like, the ad-libs is almost as important as your main verse to me. Especially a M.O.P. ad-lib is serious.
Yo, dude. My brother, I'm going to be honest. I'm so happy that you asked that question. No one has never asked me that question. Never. But the truth is, like, it depends on the beat, right?
Uh-huh.
The beat will tell you exactly what to do.
Mm.
So you'll write your ad-libs. But then there's some other beats that'll tell you just write and then create your ad-libs.
Got you.
As you know what I mean? As you lay your verse. You know what I mean? Sometimes we even actually go in, like myself, I actually go in and lay all the ad-libs first throughout the whole song.
Wow.
And then later, lead verse.
Yeah. So what's a M.O.P. song that everybody loves that you... It's okay with you, but everybody loves it.
I think Cold as Ice. And Cold as Ice was number one for about 7 months straight.
Wow.
But to me, I just thought it was kind of cool. Mm. I didn't think it was amazing. I still feel the same way about it, but I love the record, of course.
Yeah.
I still feel the same way. I like Annie Up more because it was a little more up.
And that's
a record that Fame decided that we're going to do this record.
Mm.
But there's other records too that M.O.P. got. So many, man, that I feel like are even better records than fucking Annie Up, How About Some Concord, or Cold as Ice.
What's your favorite? You know what I mean? What's your baby? What's your record? What's your favorite record?
The first foundation.
Mm.
For the foundation, we are suffering blood, sweat, tears, and clear it all. I love that record because of what it means to me. Like, people go to the death.
Mm.
A lot of people talk about To the Death because To the Death, they feel that record like that. It had a West Coast vibe, but it had East Coast lyrics, and it had that meaning of a hood family, of a street crew that was welded together. That's the same feeling everybody get everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
My thing with records is, I just want to make sure that people see other than the bad side of the record.
Even though the way we
present it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's good in everything, man.
Yeah.
You just got to find it sometimes.
My top three M.O.P. records, besides the obvious, is Follow Instructions. Absolutely
dope.
That fucking song, I be in the gym. I'm telling you, that gave me another 10 minutes on that treadmill or that Stairmaster. I'm telling you. And I got that song on repeat because it's just like, you know what I'm saying? It's like Follow Instructions. Now, here's what I want y'all to do for me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, number two is Warriors. Oh, man.
That's one of my favorites.
Warriors. People. I think it's you. Yeah. Warriors. When you say that shit, I'm like, and then you got to remember, Warriors, Brooklyn. The home of the Warriors, and when you think about what you're saying, it's from the movie. I remember, I think AZ had the same music for a song. You know what I'm saying? So it was so similar, but y'all shit was really, really, you know, it was M.O.P. And the sleeper record for M.O.P. to me is Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Love that song, man.
Oh,
I love Blood.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, you know why? Because it wasn't traditional... up tempo, but it just it was the singing on that. I love Blood, Sweat, and Tears. You know what I'm saying? So, and now, I mean, it's so many.
That recommends a lot to us.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's so many. Downtown Swinger, Part 1, Part 2. Rugged Never Smooth. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could go on and on and on with MOP catalog. How long is y'all showtime? How long is y'all showtime?
Depends on where we are, but we can go for 2 hours.
I'm about to say,
we can go for 2 hours if we need to. Sometimes we'll do, most of the time we do like an hour and a half, hour 45, depending on where we at. Here in the States, it only requires 30 minutes, 40 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Which we just getting in gear.
Yeah.
30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, how many?
We do on a tour where the shows is like 30, 40 minutes. It'll take us at least 3 shows to get warmed up because it's like, man, we're not used to it.
Go. Y'all perform Ante Up with Busta before, right?
Yeah, of course.
What is that energy like?
Ridiculous. It might be the stupidest shit I've ever seen in my life. Yo, I mean, we did MJ Pack maybe about 2 years ago. Maybe Busta was doing something like 2 years ago. We did MJ Pack and we did Barclays.
Mm-hmm.
Barclays Center around the same time. And dude, coming out to do, like what he does is he comes out and he just does like an intro, him and Slip. You know, those niggas are.
Yeah.
The
they're like one person on the stage.
crazy. They come out, do a little intro, and then he says something, and then Scratch throws on Ante Up.
Mm.
And we just run out there and go ape shit.
Yeah.
So he wants to do, and I love this nigga show, man, because he knows how to put it together.
Yes.
He's
yes.
Let me come out here and just fuck with y'all, have some fun, and then I'm going to turn it up on y'all ass.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm talking about, dude, the fucking roof.
Yeah,
almost come off in any arena that we do this song in.
Yeah, I've actually performed that shit a few times in a row, right? Like, y'all had to bring this shit back and start it over, right?
Yep, exactly. That's exactly. Like, sometimes it's Busta's show where he'll come out and he'll do his verse, or then he'll go and then he'll bring it back, and then it goes into MOP now. MOP now. You know what I'm saying? And then
crazy.
Run out and go ain't shit. People still absorb that song like it's brand new.
No, that's timeless music. How did Remy get on the song? I didn't see that one coming.
Remy forced her way on the record.
Smart woman.
Really, what I mean by that is she just did such a good verse that we didn't have her in mind.
Uh-huh.
Because really, Jay was supposed to get on the song.
Whoa.
Prodigy did a record for the song.
Whoa.
Now, I didn't want to use Prodigy's verse because he was actually talking about Jay. Remember, they had the little beef.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So I hit Jay and was like, yo, never mind. Don't worry about the verse. We closing the song out.
Mm. Is this the first time he's ever going to hear that? This is the first time the world is going to hear that.
Prodigy was on the song.
He didn't know Prodigy was dissing him on the song, though.
Well, around that time it was beefing, so I'm sure if Prodigy, you know, if he knew that Prodigy was going to be on the song, he knew that was going to happen. But I couldn't allow that, even if it was the other way around. Even if Jay would have
got
on the record just Prodigy, I would have took Jay off the record.
Got you.
You know what I mean? You don't bring your little beef and your little war into my house. I don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially when you're cool with everybody. So when you leave like G Unit, do y'all leave with y'all music or does he keep everything? How does that work?
No, we leave without music.
Okay.
I'm not going nowhere without what belongs to me.
Got you.
And there's no way anything that I've created will ever belong to anyone else because I'm sharp enough to make sure the paperwork's right.
Got you. Could you put a rumor to rest? They were saying that the G-Unit deal didn't work out because y'all didn't want to sign over your publishing.
Well, I don't know if that's why it didn't work out.
Okay.
There's no way in the fuck I would do that anyway. We all grown. We all got families and kids. So why would I give you everything that I worked for to provide for my kids to you so you can have it for your kids?
Yeah. Yeah,
you
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? When I do deals with younger artists that I'm trying to bring up now, I don't go in there and fuck with their publishing.
Yeah.
Because I understand what it means. Like later on in life, when you feel like you don't want to do this no more or even can't do it no more, your kids need to be able to reap the benefits. Like, it's just wrong for me to take the food out of your kid's mouth and put it in my kid's mouth. I'm a man. I can go get my own for my own kids. That's yours. You worked for it.
Yes.
You keep it. You hold on to it.
Did you realize you was on possibly on a record label with like Mace? Did you ever picture that in a million years? Like Mace on the song with Mace?
No. I thought that was funny as hell too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I talked about it all through the whole tour. I'm like, Mace on Gina? I love Mace, dude.
Yeah, I love
Mace. I just thought it was a weird fit. But Mace, he blended in well. I mean, he's from Harlem. He a nigga too.
Exactly. Yeah, don't get it twisted.
You know, if he made nice music or music that played in clubs or mainstream music, but he wasn't into a whole bunch of trouble, like everyone said, and the man went over to find God, that still don't mean he ain't no nigga.
Yeah, facts.
It just seemed, I was a little thrown off, but I know Mace from way, way back, you know what I'm saying? Way back, him and Cam and Big L, God bless. So way, way back before there was a G-Unit or even a Bad Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So...
Can you give me a memorable rap cipher that might have happened? Who was in it and nobody knows about it? Because, you know, a lot of the cameras came out now, but a lot of shit happened off camera in hip hop that we wish we was able to document. Do you remember a rap cipher that you might have been in before?
You know what's crazy, bro? Like, I'm a little bit, I just happen to know how to rap.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I never was so involved where I'm like, I want to battle and I want to be in rap cyphers. I've never done that. And I was never really, not that I wasn't impressed with it, but it wasn't my thing. Like, I want to make songs, I make songs. And the beginning of my career, like, all I did was freestyle. Like, most of the first MOP album was just freestyle. So I would freestyle, but I never would be into the whole battle, cyphers and all of that shit. I didn't pay it no mind. I wanted to get my chips, go home.
When you say freestyle, you mean off the top?
Yeah.
Wow. The first MOP album is just you just going in there, no writing, and just going?
Yeah, a lot of the records were like that.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Blue Steel really, and all that? Whoa.
I didn't start writing records until maybe toward the end of the second album, going into the third album. Warriors, of course, I've written, but... Mm-hmm. For me, it's better for me to not have my hands occupied with pen and pad. You know what I mean? Because I feel like it hinders me from opening up. So I'll literally just walk around my house writing a record in my head.
Mm.
And I've always done that. You know what I'm saying? Like I live in the mountains now, so I do my little hiking, my little jogging. And when I'm hiking and shit, like I'm coming up with records. Like I'm writing this record. It'll take me 2 days of hiking to write a full record.
Mm.
And that's kind of how I do it.
So, new artists. What new artists are you co-signing right now? What new artists are you working with?
Well, I'm working with a young man named Money Mark from Queens.
Okay.
Young boy named La Boogie, who happens to be my son and fucking amazing. Shocked the hell out of me. I didn't know the kick of rap. So he knew he had to come with me on the day.
Yeah.
My man D Dub out of Queens, my boy Eisenpower, who's from Florida, my man Corporal AK, who's from Edgemere, a guy named Toner that I've been, you know, working with off and on a little bit from Toronto, who's fucking amazing. My man Lucci Lona, the whole GOML crew down in Philly. So I work with a lot of different artists, man, and a lot of different producers around the world. It doesn't matter. Like I said before, it doesn't matter if you're already in position or not. You know, I know talent when I see it, and anything I can help with, I'm always there for somebody that really want to work, not the dudes that's half-assed doing it, though. You know what I'm saying?
Got you. So what's all your social media? Because I see you on Facebook. We actually friends on Facebook. I'm just under my real name. And you be on that book. Like, how did you adapt to social media?
No, you know what's crazy, bro? I had Facebook when everybody had MySpace. So it was way, way back that I had Facebook.
Wow.
So I've always been, you know, mingling with social media. I'm just starting to get a little to the gram and shit. You know what I mean? Because I'm not really a picture person.
Yeah.
But this makes it easier to get the word out there. I don't mind. I'm not like a stubborn old man. Only the Buick.
I'll take that Rory. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not just only the Buick nigga. So, but I find it easy once you figure out how to navigate through these sites or whatever, and figure out how to get, you know, put it out there to your people. Because, I mean, it's easier, right? Like, remember, at one point, like, for me to get my record to Germany, I had to actually get it pressed. I had to go to the, you know, box it up, take it to the, you know, take it to UPS or whatever. They had to ship it. It would take weeks, literally weeks to get there. Now, it's a press of a button.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm cool with it, bro. I'm getting a little more savvy as we go along.
How do you adapt to people coming to your comments talking about how they gonna smack the shit out you, shoot you, or the suck? You know, these little niggas is telling niggas to suck my dick. Like, how do you adapt? How do you deal with that? Because I'm still learning a little.
What's crazy is there's, I never really got that, but there's one dude in Connecticut said he's gonna follow me the fuck up. I said, oh, okay. And then his man taps in and said, he wants some too, so they're both gonna fold me up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just waiting for him to fold me up. And I'm not gonna say what happened after that. Myself and the cats that left the message, they know what happened after that. I think one of them kind of realized that, you know what I mean? This is not the smartest thing to do. And, you know, he's a grown man with family and, you know what I mean? Maybe he need not to be putting that kind of energy out there.
Facts.
So he left a message or whatever. I never even replied to him, but, and I ain't even mad at him because sometimes I feel like I'm going to hit somebody in the mouth.
You know what I mean?
So I totally get it. When you're pissed off, bro, you're pissed off, but I'm just not the dude that you just going to be hitting in the mouth.
Word. So,
my shit ain't set up like that.
How could they find you on social media? What's your names?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram, man, at BillyDans1545, or you can find me on Twitter at BillDansMOP. And you know I'm all over Facebook. So you can find me, Billy Dans, also on Facebook. I'm there. You know what I mean?
And you also mentioned a company earlier. What is it called? We Bill Hits?
We Bill Hits. Yeah, that's my company. And I'm actually putting out this project, the six pack, with in conjunction with Rise and Fire,
okay,
which is my partners. So great group of guys over there. They really got my back. So yeah. And also y'all can look that up too on IG, Rise and Fire, and We Bill Hits. Y'all can hit us up over there too.
So what does it take to get down with you? Like, cause it seemed like motherfuckers probably scared of you. I'm gonna keep it real with you. Like, what does it take to get down with you?
I mean, bring something to the table.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not nice at all with what you do.
Yeah.
So if somebody like yourself brings something to the table, bring what you do to the table. Okay, cool. Let's figure out a deal. Let's figure out how to make it work. R&B singers. I can't do that shit.
I
need a crew of people around me that does different things so we can move forward. Like, I don't need... Like, every artist that I deal with, none of them sound like Billy Dance. None of them cover the MOP ground. I don't need that because I already got that covered.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? So if somebody else that comes to fold with something else, then if I can help you, I'll help you. If we can work together, we'll work together. And I'm always going to give it 100% too. So nobody has to worry about if I'm going to halfway be in a partnership with them or halfway do what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to do it all the way.
So, in closing, what's the projected timetable for you to drop all of this?
Okay, so now, because we talking right now, it's March 7th today, March 8th will be the first piece of the puzzle, which we're calling the six pack.
Okay.
It's from the Billy Dance Project. Six crazy records on there that I appreciate and everybody, all the tastemakers that have the record seem to appreciate too. So March 8th, the six pack from the Billy Dance Project. I got some videos floating around. The Halle Berry video is out now. And I may drop a video tomorrow.
Got you.
I may do that because I got a whole bunch of shit stockpiled. You know what I'm saying?
Got you. The timetable. And where can they get that? On all the streaming platforms?
all the streaming platforms. You can go download it on iTunes, your Google Plays, all of that. And wherever you can find a record at, that record is there.
And when they look for the name, what are you going under for the project? That's very important.
Oh, it's Billy Dan.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because you know they might Billy be looking Dan. Up Billy like Dan Zini. They might be looking up William. You know all your aliases.
Yeah, yeah.
Billy Dan. Billy B I L L Y D A N Z E. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you can Google or whatever the Billy Dan's project, or Google Billy Dan's, and you'll find it somewhere. If you're looking for it, it's there.
Okay. And last question: When's the timetable for this M O the new? We need a new MOP.
I would say, maybe mid next year.
Okay.
Maybe mid 2020. I mean, because we're working on it now.
Got you.
So it can happen. It can really happen any day. But we don't want to swallow up the Billy Dan's project with.
Yeah. You got to space it out. You got to space it out. And Fame got some projects that he's working on too.
Yep, Fame. You know, last year he dropped the Say Nothing video, so now he's finishing up his project. So he may be releasing something in the near future.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Rest
so we
want to
keep that MOP bug going.
Yeah, rest in peace to Sean Price. Before he passed, he told me to come to the crib, and he let me hear what him and Fame was doing, and I was like, holy shit! Like I didn't foresee that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully that get to see the day of light too. You know, rest in peace to Sean Price.
Done. Look, between me and you, Diamonds, and we ain't going to tell nobody this, but Fame just sent me a record yesterday so I can go and put my verse on the Sean Price Fame joint.
Wow, that's just between me and you. Now. Yeah, that's between me and you.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yo, we got to definitely, I got your math, we definitely got to stay in contact when you're down in the city. Yep. We definitely got to, do more things. Brooklyn, I actually want to go, show people a little bit of Brooklyn before it got gentrified, because they see poodles and motherfuckers running in shorts now. They think shit is sweet. Shit is, you know.
Dude, I was in the star a couple months ago, and I seen like these signs over the street from one side of the street to the other, like "Welcome to Bedford Stuyvesant." I'm like, man, that shit look weird. They're like extra clean and shit.
Stuyvesant
like,
Heights. Yo, even around Christmas, they put Christmas lights all down the streets now and all. I'm like, yo, what the hell is going on?
What kind of bullshit is this?
Yeah. I'm happy that the crime is down. I'm definitely happy for that. Mm-hmm. But don't move our people out, man. And our people, man, stop leaving. You know, find a way to stay. But, you know, some people do need to leave because, the higher your popularity get, it's just not wise for you to stay in the hood. You could give back to the hood and go back to the hood when you need to, but sometimes it's just not wise to stay in there. And you didn't work hard to stay amongst BS. You know, you work hard to contribute to uplifting it, but sometimes you got to leave because that hate be too strong in the hood sometimes. I had to leave.
Initial thought.
Yeah.
When you thought about, I need to do something, I want to win, it was always like, I want to win, I want to get myself a nice house, set my family up properly. It was never like, I want to make all this money and just hang out on Bedford Avenue. Yeah. Like I'm shooting my face.
Yeah, exactly.
It was never that.
Yep, it was never that.
But
all right, so bro, man, I thank you for taking your time out in the day. Next time we get to Skype together, you could be on the screen and all that. But this is just as good. Yeah. And this is the first time me and you ever got to chop it up, like this. So this definitely won't be our last. So yo, make sure y'all go pick up that Billy Dan's project, the 6-pack. It will be out on all streaming platforms by the time this airs. So that means if it's dropping tomorrow, I'm dropping this interview tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? They're going to get a Friday.
That's right.
It's Thursday right now, but y'all going to get a Friday, a special all around. New music, new interview, new everything. Billy Dan's, the 6-pack, will be on all streaming platforms. This is his first time out by himself, too. So y'all got to definitely show him a little extra love so he don't get cold feet and not do it again. You know what I'm saying? We definitely need more and more and more from you. So, Billy,
that's
man,
right.
Thank you for calling. I'll holler at you later on.
Thank you, family. I appreciate you, man.
Yep. All right. Peace.
Peace.
All right. So, that was Billy Dan's of the world famous Firing Squad MOP. Got a lot of information out of him today. Things I didn't know. I didn't know nothing about the Prodigy supposed to be on the song. I didn't know nothing about Jay-Z. Wow, that's incredible information. Hopefully, when I do interviews, y'all get to learn something about the artist that you never knew before. And That's what I do this for. You know, whether you a new artist, whether you an old artist, I try to give you information that you just never knew, not just always beef issues and all that other madness. So that's what it is. I just want to give a quick shout out to Timothy Bowden, who's on the check-in, and make sure you follow him on Instagram at Somebody Sign Me Now. Yes, that is his Instagram, Somebody Sign Me Now. His name is Timothy Bowden. So make sure y'all shout him out. Also, the Garski 7, Old Myth, Born Magnetic, Mala Divine, you know, everybody who support Doggy Diamond's brand. Digital Soapbox Network is the brand. Make sure you go. And also, too, hold on, man. We got to make sure we get this in there. Make sure you go to shop.doggydiamondstv.com. Pick you up a hat. Pick you up a t-shirt. Pick you up a sweater. Pick up something from me out there. You know, all social media is Doggy Diamonds, DoggieDiamonds, Doggy Diamonds. I'm on everything. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. I don't really snap like that, because they got premium snaps where these chicks be, you know, charging money to show that little cootie and all that. I ain't with all that. But yeah, I got everything on social media. Doggy Diamonds TV, that's what you looking at right now. Doggy Diamonds No Filter on iTunes and radio.com. That's what you're listening to right now. Make sure you subscribe to the iTunes to get this exclusive audio. Make sure you go to radio.com. Look up Doggy Diamonds. Every link for everything I do is always below in the description box. So make sure you support. With that, I'm Doggy Diamonds. I'm signing out. I was going to say where I'm going, but they didn't give me no money. But I'm about to go to Trader Joe's. Forget it. I'm going to Trader Joe's to get me some food that I need. And that's what it is. So, yo, man, I thank y'all for y'all support. Shout out to Billy Dan. Shout out to MJ for hooking us up to, you know, Brooklyn. You already know Brooklyn. All right, all right. I got to get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this. Doggy Diamonds did this.